This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
So this is my disclosures. If I can get it, there we go. So the overview really is, I think technical tips and tricks can be a longer talk than 7 minutes, but we'll try to compress in what I think are important or a little bit about the angiosome. I think that has a lot about how we approach this, or wires and catheters. I'll mention my own biases, and we've already covered some of the results, but I'm going to, you know, just make the note that we're not talking about, this is very inconsistent here, we're not talking about tibial atherectomy. I don't know. There we go. So I can move there. This has been mentioned earlier that, you know, we don't always get the result we want with a bypass, that there's failures, and I think that some of this has to do with tibial disease. But it also is clear that in intervention, if you don't get all the way down, or if you embolize, and I think that's an underappreciated thing we see with interventions and underappreciation. We've seen the angiosome before, and it's clear that, you know, in the normal foot, certain parts are perfused primarily by certain vessels, but there's a dense collateral network available, and so it's not always essential that we have to have this targeted revascularization. But the results in a couple of studies do show that if you have an angiosome-directed revascularization versus not, it changes your outcomes with significant differences, as you see here. And this is just a case here, you know, to demonstrate this. This is an ischemic first toe ulcer. And this was treated with an anterior tibial angioplasty. You can see, again, this PT is open, but there's very little in these squiggly collaterals, indicating there's not a patent pedal arch. This is the delayed image showing the reconstituted anterior tibial, and this is the injection afterwards. And the same thing goes for this. This is rare, I think, but inframalleolar intervention does play a role. This is a lateral fifth toe ulcer, and you see this again, not a complete arch, and this is the lateral plantar artery that has a focal stenosis that's treated. I do think that angiosome is less or maybe even unimportant in certain instances. Rest pain and no tissue loss, I think chasing multiple vessels sometimes is wrong. Tissue loss above the ankle is generally not affected so much by an angiosome. You know, superficial small lesions, when you actually do have adequate toe pressure, are things that we shouldn't be worried so much about, the angiosomes. You know, diabetics are a problem. Non-diabetics generally have better cross collaterals, patent pedal arch. So in diabetics, the angiosome may be important. But again, and with an intact pedal arch, often that flow is adequate. So technically, what are important? I think that tibial access or intervention in the access site is important. I still go up and over for most, but it is with a good sheath. You need good support, particularly treating occlusions. So the farther you are from it, the larger the access needs to be. Contralateral, generally I'm using 6 or 7 French 70-centimeter long sheaths, and antegrade would be a 5 or 6. I know others would use maybe a French size smaller in this, but I like having coaxial catheters inside of this, and I can push harder with that and get through things. An angled catheter is good to get selected tibials, but it's not really what you want to use to advance a small angled catheter down in the tibial. It needs to be a straight catheter generally to get the best results in crossing. Stenoses, I think, are best crossed with an 014 wire. And you must have a support catheter behind that because the wires get deformed easily and you really lose tip control quickly after 1 or 2 deformations of an 014 wire tip. You can use a balloon if you want, although I prefer to use a support catheter. Total occlusions and the tibials in my hands are best crossed with an 018 wire. I think the support and the hydrophilic tip that you get is much more effective. There is some aggressive aspect to this, but again, if you know what your backups are, you shouldn't be worried about pushing a wire out the side of a tibial. And again, you need to have a support catheter or a balloon, which is essential to cross these occlusions. But if you do have trouble and you can tell that the wire is looped in a deep plane, you're not going to get into a true lumen distally, or you just hit calcium you can't get across. Retrograde access is a good bailout. So briefly about how do I do that, you need to stabilize the foot under the drape. I usually don't have a separate drape. I cut a hole in it and put an adhesive dressing across that so you can see it. Micropuncture set up and have nitro to inject from above as you're doing it. And ultrasound-guided access, I think for most surgeons, we're used to using ultrasound. It is probably the preferable for most pedal, certainly, and distal posterior tibial and anterior tibial access. I like to put the local in under ultrasound guidance, and you need to, again, have that nitro to relieve the spasm, because if you just manipulate the vessel spasms quickly sometimes, and particularly the younger the patient. And use a reflective needle on ultrasound and the 24-gauge 018 wire. Again, you're not able to fluoro this. You need to have a feel for that wire when it's going in. Angiographic guided tibial access also works really well, and that's a technique that you need to set up just right. You need to have two views of the foot able to get easily oriented with your II, and you need to have mag view, collimated. You need to not try to lower the image intensifier down so close that you can't work on the foot. You need to have space to work over it, not bumping into it. And this just shows a setup where, you know, the foot is rotated. You've got a direct AP view that you're trying to puncture the anterior tibial, but then you have it set up where you can rotate that to 90 degrees to detect the depth that you're going. And just an image there of the setup on the side. So I don't use a sheath, although that is the routine for some. A 4-French sheath is thought to be routine. I think the smaller device you put in, the better. I, again, use 018 wires to cross, and I use an 018 support catheter. The CXI catheter is the best because it doesn't taper up to a larger diameter as you go farther in. You know, sometimes you put a wire in from below and it just passes right up through, where from above it didn't work. Other times you have to meet in the middle, and these can take time, and they're very, testing your patience on a day when things are running long. But the double balloon technique, where you put a balloon in from a below, can actually be the final, where you have a 4-French sheath in. You go ahead and put a small balloon from below and a larger from above. But, meeting in the middle is frustrating sometimes when you're in that different plane. I want to show a picture here in a minute of balloon from above. Capture of the wire, usually you just get a wire through and you can manipulate it into your proximal catheter. You can use a snare or this device here that has a little cone shape at the end of it, contrast being injected out of it, and a small balloon that centers it above that and arrests flow. And then you just slide your wire from above right into your catheter and right out your sheath at the other end. Your distal access site management is really pretty easy, but I think it's important to get a balloon down, and I always balloon the distal angioplasty or access site with a balloon. So you get your balloon down distally after you've done your work from above and pull the wire through and through wire out, pass an 014 wire distal to your access catheter distally and put a balloon up in that. You can inflate a blood pressure cuff shortly for control if needed. This just shows really quickly a patient with, two-stage intervention, the fempop and a tibial, and trying to get through. There's really no inline flow, reasonable collateral, but no inline flow to any tibial. And I want to show this because the use of Roadmap, even though you try to stabilize the foot, is really a frustrating thing when you're using angiographics. So it's really all about fluoro, and then it can a puff or can intermittent injection from above to see the target vessel. To try to do a Roadmap when you're working on the foot is really frustrating. This just shows here on the screen on the right an access needle in, and we got up and through that, and this is the runoff. And I'll point out here a drug-eluting stent in the area that was totally occluded. This is another case, I think, that shows the challenge of trying to get through. Here's a AT that really ends nowhere on the foot. TP trunk is out, but distally the PT is filled by collaterals. So this was accessed distally here with an injection. You see the support catheter and the wire having a hard time getting through even from below. So coming from above with a small balloon and the wire through it, you inflate this balloon, and then on deflation, you actually try to pass the wire out into that space created by the balloon. And that's a technique that's essential, I think, to be able to have success in a wide range of it. And here's a completed image there with balloon, and then again a stent, and then the runoff. This has already been talked about, but I think failure rates are pretty high in these, and I think that patency is an issue. And you know, when you get a result like this, you know, I feel really good about that. Long inflations are important. I think that longer balloons are important, typically in these cases. And you can't just take the balloon down, take a picture, and go home. You need to wait and see how it looks for a few minutes. Again, a longer balloon technique. I'll show this quickly just because I think we're running short on time. But this is you know, a case where you know, you have to be happy with what you have. This is a patient who went to the OR, and the vessel was so calcified it couldn't bypass it. And so we took him to the angio suite, and this is the lesion down near where the incision was made to try to bypass to. But runoff through this perineal with a collateral to the PT, this is after successful treatment of that, and the runoff to the foot. So it is, I think, essential that we have this opportunity to bail back. Now, other tools, I don't really see much role for these in the tibials. They may change plaque characteristics with a cutting balloon, scoring balloon, or forced focus, but you got to get them there, and particularly a cutting balloon or the scoring balloon often won't track in nearly as easy as a really nice low-profile tibial design balloon. And these results with DES, I think, are really the key. This is something that I use probably 20-25% of the time in tibial intervention. You need to be ready to put a DES in if you don't have. And it's usually not the whole vessel. It's usually focal. So tibial stenting is sort of one of the things I think is important. We've got some new things coming maybe with bioresorbable scaffold, if anyone wants to use an off-label device coming soon, that might actually add some effectiveness in putting tibial stents in. Again, this is just what it can look like if you balloon and wait a while. It'll come back, and this is with a tibial stent. So on that, I will finish.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.